Thank you, Jerry.
I asked this morning some questions as the lesson got underway. I want to ask a couple of more questions tonight. What is the most important part of your car? Did y'all see them heads go up? What did he say? What's the most important part of your car? The what? Your wife. I don't even know what to say to that. I know for men who don't have wives, they put one in the dash. Turn left here. You got gas pump, you got keys, you got ignition switches, you got tires. The point is that every part of your car is important. And, you know, a lot of times we don't think about that. We get in, we start the car, we go, and we come back. And you don't realize how important the fuel pump is until it quits working. You don't drive down the road thinking, boy, I'm glad the fuel pump's working today. What's the most important part of your body? The soul. Good answer. See, that's not a part of your body. It's in your body, but it's not part of your body, really. Your body's physical. What's the most important physical part of your physical body? I'll qualify the question. Eyes, heart, brain. You can have a heart pump and have no brain. What good is it? It's not a good time to look at your spouse. The point being that of all the parts of your body, they're all important. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 12. The idea of the lesson tonight is that the body of Christ is no different in this respect of your car or your physical body. Every member of the body of Christ is important. It doesn't matter which member you are. They're all important. From the least to the greatest, from the smallest to the biggest, from the youngest to the oldest. They're all important. We're going to learn that tonight, and we're going to try to put that into application in our lives, especially as we look forward to this week and the rest of this month and the first week in October. There's going to be a lot to do. If you haven't figured that out, just from this morning and this afternoon, the announcements that have been made and the things that we're looking at doing and putting into place and into effect this week, there's a lot of work. And some may have not partaken in some of that kind of work before, but let us encourage you to try to do that this time. Be a part of the gospel meeting, the lectureship. Be a part of the Super Saturday. Be a part of the door knocking campaign. Whether it's bringing a bag of potato chips or knocking on somebody's door, it's all important. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, down at verse 12. Excuse me, I'll be right there. I've got the wrong book opened up here. You can't find it in the book of Romans. I know you can't. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but not all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the body of Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Your physical body is made up of many members. You're not just totally a big toe. You need a big toe, but that's not all you are. Down at verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. He designed us as it pleased him to design us. Down verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Your body parts can't say that I'm better than you, so I don't need you. or I do this and you don't do this, so off with you. It doesn't work that way. He goes on the rest of that chapter explaining, is in verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, these we bestow greater honor. Down in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. As God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. He asks the question in verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing, or do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You see, the point there is they're kind of rhetorical questions. And we know the answer is that no, not everybody does all that. You weren't geared and developed or made or created so you could do everything. It don't happen that way. You're not me. No, I'm kidding. None of us can do everything. All of us can do something. Your ear has a particular function. So does your nose. You know, they tell me that your nose and your ears never quit growing. Some of us are in trouble. And they tell me on top of that, your eye never grows. It's the size it is when you're born that it is when you grow old. It never gets bigger. It's odd. But the point is they're there for a particular purpose. You sit in this congregation as a member of the body of Christ to serve a particular purpose. Romans chapter 12, if you will. Romans chapter 12. At verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me, Paul writes, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each a measure of health, or excuse me, a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Not only do we serve a function in the body, or God has set us in the body to serve a function, we serve each other in doing what we can do. Those who teach serve in teaching. Those who labor in other areas, maintenance or whatever it may be, labor in those things. But they all serve, we all serve one another, as he points out here. And one message back in this, not to think of too highly of ourselves, there's a flip side of that scenario. Let's not think too highly of ourselves, more so than we ought, but let's not underestimate and think less of ourselves than what we need to. You see, my fear is that a lot of folks don't do much for the body of Christ because they feel inadequate. They feel, well, I can't do all those things, so I'm just going to sit back and let other folks do that. See, that's not why God has us as part of this body. We all can do something. What we need to do is figure what part we are. What part of the body do you serve? What part of the body are you? We talked about the gas pedal and the ignition switch and all those parts of a car. Ears, eyes, throat, toes. Everything about a part of a physical body, then the soul being involved in the body. What part of the body are you? That's what you need to figure out. Are you a teacher? Some of you can teach. Will you? Some of you serve in other areas. Will you? Some of you can knock on a door and go with others to do that and talk to folks about the church and invite them to come to worship and invite them to come, invite their kids to come to the Super Saturday. Right now, we don't know how many kids we're going to have. We might have two. We might have 30. I don't know. But I know that they don't come unless they're invited. What part of the body do you serve? We can do nothing on our own. God has made us to be able to do what we can do. Three problems with parts of the body, as Paul outlined to us over in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some parts of the body might want to feel superior to others. Now, I'm not saying we have that problem here in this congregation. I don't believe we do. I've told everybody since the first very little while we were here that this is one of the most loving congregations of people I've ever seen before. And no one really feels like they're head over heels above anybody else. I think it's the opposite. Some feel like they're not worthy of doing things, and that's just not true. Everybody can do something. Some parts of the body are jealous of others. Don't believe that's the case here either. I think everybody understands that we're all in this thing together, and we're going to have to help each other get out of it. None of us is going to get out alive. And we got to be ready when the time comes. Some parts of the body feel that everybody else should do their job. I'm the only one. They got that Elijah syndrome. I'm the only one left, Lord. Nobody else is doing anything. And that's just not true either. A lot of folks are working behind the scenes doing things you never would think about. Taking care of business, getting stuff done. We need to figure out what part of the body we need to serve in. What function do we fit best? Cooking, cleaning, teaching, preaching. We don't do miracles anymore as they did in the first century. We don't speak in tongues anymore as they did in the first century. Those things are no longer necessary, so that's out of the way. Don't have to worry about those. But what we need to be focused on is, where can I best help? Where am I best suited with what I can do to serve the body? And I'll tell you, if you think about it, we've got so much a different variety of folks in this congregation that if everybody did what they could do, there's no slowing us down. There's no stopping this congregation from doing what the Lord would have us to do. You know, we knocked out 1,000 doors last year. Was that the case? Right at 1,000 doors. We had 12, 13 people doing it. Actually, we're out there every day. I don't mean to pat them on the back like there's something, all that in a bag of chips, but the fact is they got together every day and they just went out and did stuff. Knocked on that door. If nobody answered, they hung a bag on the door handle and went on to the next door and knocked on that one. It doesn't take a lot of talent to do that. I'm not knocking you. Don't misunderstand. Did I say that? You know what I'm saying, though. If you have two legs, which most everybody does, if you got one fist and a little bit of thinking power, you can knock on a door. You can invite someone to come and join us at church on Sunday if you would. And if you happen to luck up on somebody that says, you know what, I've been having questions about the power. Oh, would I want to have somebody to answer the door that way? We'll do a Bible study. Do it right then. Some feel like they're not qualified to Bible study, but you know more than that person does. If they've got questions about the Bible, you probably know some of those answers. But are you willing to step up and say, okay, what's your question? Let's sit down and talk about it. Let's see what God says the answer is and go for that study. Sometimes the door opens up just that quick and we fail to step through it. But if we're prepared and we're ready, if we know what we can do and we're prepared and ready to do that, makes all the difference in the world. It's a follow-up from this morning's lesson. Without hammering on the subject, without belaboring the topic, you don't know every part of your car. I dare say most of us in here anymore don't know half the parts in that motor under your hood in your car. You start it, and you push on the gas, and it goes. And that's really all you need to know. You don't have to be a mechanic to drive a car. Not all of us know every part of our body. I'm sure I don't. Now, they're not new parts in the body. They're the same old parts that have always been in the body. But unless we went to school to study those things, we don't know all the parts of the body. I can't name half the bones I've got, much less the rest of the parts. Why do they need names? I don't know. But I don't have to be a doctor to know when my elbow hurts or to know if I'm getting too big around in the waist. So I can just know those things. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, it doesn't take a Bible genius to do a Bible study or to knock on a door. You see what I'm saying? We can all do these things. We can all do them. Parts go unnoticed in our car till it breaks. I tell you tonight for sure, we have parts that we have gone unnoticed in the body of Christ here that have just not stepped up. They're not broken, but they're not being used. We need to be using those parts. We need to ponder the question, which part of the body am I and what portion do I serve? And when we all figure that out, then watch us grow. We will. I'll promise you that. That's your lesson. It's a short lesson. It's a simple lesson. Who are you and where do you fit? That's basically where it is. I hope you'll find that out. I hope you'll figure that out. And if you have something you've always wanted to do and you've not done it yet, then be brave. Step up. Do it. And I don't think that's anything different than you tell your children or grandchildren. If you've got something you want to do, do it. As long as it's not against the law. Go back and read Galatians chapter 5, verses about the works of the flesh against the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against being what the Lord wants you to be. If you're here tonight and you need some help and all that, then let someone know. If you're here tonight and there's an issue that you need to be taken care of in your life, let someone know. Now's the time to do that. We're going to sing a song in a minute, a song of encouragement and invitation. If you have a need to come forward, don't hesitate. Step on out there and do it. It's just one step away. And if you need some help with what you'd like to do for the congregation of the Lord's body here, step on out and let somebody know that. That's your lesson. That's your encouragement for the night. You make those decisions while we stand together and sing.